All right. I think we're recording here. Welcome back to, as we just said, number 10 of the Smokescreen Podcast. Double digits now. We tried to do this a couple weeks ago. We said in a couple podcasts, the first one we said at the end, though. And then the last one we did on Bob Lazar. I was going to say Bob Laser. We said it at the beginning to ask us anything. We'd like to do one where we just answer random questions or whatever about our past, whatever, anything goes. And we did mention that, but we only got a couple. So I posted on Patreon. So we got a bunch of Patreon questions, and you, James, has a couple, I think he wrote down from the last YouTube version of the podcast. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to answer some questions just kind of a laid back, have fun, whatever comes up, comes up. So I know we got a shitload here on Patreon, and you got a couple there. So
it's about time.
I don't know where you want to start. I'll pull these up here.
My double hernia operation.
Yeah. So, let's. Well, I guess we'll just jump right in. Is there anything else we're going to say beforehand? I don't remember. I don't remember anything. I'm really bad at this question shit about memories and stuff. I was going to say.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't have any memories.
I don't.
I think somebody from Men in Black visited Chris sometime in his early 20s.
Somebody flashed that fucking light, and I'm telling you, I don't have wild stories like James. I guess I do. They got to be jarred loose or something. I don't know.
Well, hopefully, yeah, some of this wheel jar is loose.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. So we'll start.
I am awfully dramatic, though. So, so I'm like my memories and my stories, like somebody else could tell it in like two sentences, and I'll like tell you know.
You got every detail going
on. Yeah,
I
don't know why.
Drama queen over
that's
here.
That's all it is, I think. I really think my brain sees things really dramatic. And something else that maybe somebody else wouldn't notice, I notice a lot about it. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. I don't know what's happened. I've had, you know, honestly, though, before we start, I've noticed the last really couple years, but really recently, and it's really bugging the shit out of me, I forget everything, man. I forget names and places and shit, and you know, we were on YouTube for years talking about Game of Thrones. I'm forgetting character names and history. Yeah. I don't want to lose my brain, man.
No, I don't. It's a nightmare to think.
It's my worst. I was gonna say, if somebody would ask that question, what's your scariest whatever?
Yeah,
that would be it. Losing my mind, and it's already happening. So,
and it comes with age, losing memories and stuff. But it's a little early for us to start.
Exactly.
Yeah, so maybe go, you know, get something. Some kind of they wouldn't do a brain scan.
Well, you know,
physical,
it's
though.
Like exactly. You're just having a conversation, and you'll forget a word that is normally in your vocabulary, and you'll think of it 20 minutes later. When so you kind of stumble around it with something else.
Yeah, and you don't want to replace it with a fill in the blank
exactly.
word. You know, I know what you're saying.
That's what happens a lot. Is what I'm saying.
And then you get frustrated. And you like the old me would have never done that,
right?
And then you start noticing other things.
Yeah, and I do this for a living on YouTube,
right?
And this podcast now, and it's not good. So I don't know. I just need to get some more blood flow to my brain. I need to exercise more. So that's going to happen.
But you do remember every detail of when you were working on that propulsion system and S4, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can't forget shit like that. So, I mean, that's just
double checking. You're my golden goose. Don't forget that shit.
That's right. Okay, so we'll start here on Patreon. By the way, if you're listening to this on YouTube, all the links will be to everything in the description below. But we also have this available on every major platform: Podbean, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play. SoundCloud. What's the other one? I forgot. See, I can't remember. What's the other one?
Yeah, you used to.
I used to rattle them off. So anyway, all major platforms, it's available. So if you're listening on there, drop us a review. Be appreciated.
Indeed.
Get it out there. Lord Kev here on Patreon says, and this we already know what's going down right here. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
It's funny you ask that.
There's two right here from Lord Kev that me and James have complete opposite.
Opposite. Right now, I work at Pizza Hut again. Chris and I met at Pizza Hut, actually, back in the day. You know, we went to high school together, didn't know one another, but we started working together at Pizza Hut. So, yeah, we've had this discussion many times.
Yes.
And I absolutely
love
pineapple on pizza. I love it. I think, yes, it goes. There's something about the sweet and the savory mixture that I really like. And I think maybe that's something to do with, like, you eat, you have to like that kind of combo, because I like the Krispy Kreme donut burgers. I like things like that.
Yeah, I don't even know about that.
I like McGriddles from McDonald's in the morning. I love that pancake and the maple syrup bun.
Yeah, I don't mind
with
that.
Sausage.
I think that's probably fine.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm the exact opposite. I think it's horrible. I do not think fruit. See, I've never got, and it goes back to a lot of other foods like you're mentioning. I don't like salty and sweet combined. I've never liked. I mean, I used to eat like what's it called, the old snack.
What's it called? Oh my god, I can't remember. Shit.
I can't remember. I don't know the name of it. I have it in my head. The picture of the box, Cracker Jacks. See?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that. Caramel popcorn.
Love it.
Hate it.
Always have hated it?
Always have.
Okay,
Salty and sweet stuff to me don't mix.
So Crunch and Munch, you were never a fan?
No.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's just stuff like that where there's some kind of sweet something on salt. It just, for me, doesn't work. And it's the same kind of principle with fruit, with juices coming out on my bread.
Right.
And so I don't like the taste. I mean, I don't hate it. Like, it's not something I would, you know, barf at, but the idea of juicy fruit running down in my dough.
I know what you mean.
Know what I'm saying?
I can see that.
I don't like the taste. It's not the worst thing I've tasted, but it's like one of the seven deadly sins for me.
Well,
almost like the next question we'll get into, eating steak.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird for me, the pineapple thing. And I know it's very popular because, hell, I deliver so many.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's got, you know, it's a Hawaiian pizza. It's been around forever.
For me personally, I go all the way back to my single digit age when my mom would make me like banana sandwiches with mayonnaise.
Now, I have had banana sandwiches,
and
she would
also make like a couple times a year. She would get the canned pineapple rings. And make pineapple and mayonnaise on a hamburger bun because the round pineapple ring fit perfectly on the bun.
Right.
And Duke's mayonnaise.
Fits,
yeah. See that in the store. She's like, hey, this is round. This is round. Let's try it.
That's right.
But no, it works for some reason for me. That Duke's mayonnaise, you know, it has a good tart. It's a stronger mayonnaise.
Yeah, that's right. In the South here, it's got to be Duke's.
Got to be.
It's not that fake ass dressing
and all that
bullshit.
Crap.
Miracle Whip is not mayonnaise. That's another pet peeve of mine when it comes to food.
It is.
You go to somebody's house. My cousin who used to live up the road, he just moved recently. Every time we'd go grill out up there, I have to take my own damn mayonnaise.
That's such a shame.
Because they got that fake-ass mayonnaise. The mayonnaise
Hellman's
in the drawer.
And all that.
And it's like, no, that's salad dressing. That's not mayonnaise. That's completely different. That's not what I don't put that on a hamburger.
Agreed. And I've been in the room where I've been outnumbered because I had some Yankee friends. And they're talking about Miracle Whip, and I'm like, are you kidding? I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, exactly. That's like
it's too sweet.
That's like picante sauce made in New York City, that old commercial.
Oh, yeah, get a rope.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's the first one. We'll go – this is kind of the same thing, so we'll just go ahead and say this from Lord Kev as well on Patreon. How do you like your steak cooked?
Right.
God, I have argued with this Wright family about this for 15 years.
Yeah,
now.
Man. It's to me, I do not like a bloody steak. I don't.
See,
I
there's
deal
that's
with
what
it.
I mean. It's not blood. And I had to go and explain to James's daughter this for years. And
there's plates of blood. I don't like pink mashed potatoes. I don't pink French fries. I don't like that. So, when I was a kid, I never knew people ate meat that was red in color. My steaks were always gray,
and it's like
my hamburgers were always gray.
Right.
I never knew at a fancy restaurant you could order your hamburger patty cooked, you know, medium or anything like that. So I'm used to gray when it comes to beef, and so as I've gotten older now, and I've heard this argument a lot, I have started. So now I am a medium well, and I can eat medium, but I don't know. It has to be dark in the room.
Well, I was going to say. Yeah, because we ate steak before this podcast, and I ordered mine medium rare as usual, and yours medium is what I picked on the thing because I knew you wanted it a little longer as usual. But yeah, we've had this argument not argument, but you know, not between just me and you, but when
it's a common argument.
When Brooklyn would come over and spend the night with Camden, and we would eat whatever. The occasions we ate steak, it was like they always, you know, when they're kids, they always want the I call them steak nuggets.
you know, cut it up.
Yeah, cut it up. And I'm like, I always get medium rare. How do you want yours? Well done. I'm like, well done. That's like eating rocks from the driveway. It's just hard, no taste. There's no juice and flavor.
Right, but I love that flavor. There is a flavor there that you get used to.
I guess like, you get used to anything.
Yeah, but you when you think of a steak, you have a taste in your brain. You picture. Yeah, we do too. It's just different. And texture.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't mind it chewing more times.
No, I don't. You know? Yeah, everybody has their own thing. I'm not saying anybody's wrong.
No, it is considered wrong.
I'm saying
chefs and stuff will say
that's true.
You ruin a piece of meat if you cook it too much.
Yeah, I'm just saying I hear the blood argument and it drives me insane when it's not blood. That's what drives me insane.
And plus, I can't do this. I cannot take a piece of meat off of a grill and let it rest. I'm always too anxious to eat it.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah, that's.
I can't do that.
And I used to not care about shit like that, but, you know, I mean, I grill occasionally, and I started doing all that stuff where you lay it out for 20 minutes, room temperature, and I'll usually do a rub or something like that.
Right.
Or something quick and easy, depending on what's going on. And then, because I rarely soak it in anything. I rarely do a marinade.
Yeah, I'm a rub man too.
I rarely do that, but the whole thing where you know room temperature, throw it on the grill a minute, flip it, sear it, and then you let it cook a couple more minutes, maybe 1 or 2 minutes on each side, that's it, and then let it sit there for 10 minutes. And it really does. You don't think so, but it makes a huge difference. But again, that depends on the cut of meat.
It's supposed to seal in all these juices and stuff.
Yep.
Like if you cut it too soon, it'll all, you know, run out. But yeah, I don't know if it's for me.
Yeah, there's definitely a science behind it for sure. So yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that was a long answer to a short question, but medium
it's
rare.
It's just funny
here,
he asked those two.
Exactly,
because we've had these discussions,
Much. But yeah, now I will say I went one time to a steakhouse and I ordered one rare, and
wow.
And it was okay, but I just didn't like, and it may have been just that steakhouse or lack of seasoning or whatever. Because I like Logan's. That's my favorite, like, from a restaurant.
Yeah, Logan's makes great steaks.
Yeah, their seasoning, they put it's that big-ass sea salt on there, too, and that's just, you know, simpler the better, really, for me.
This reminded me, in New Jersey, where I used to go make funnel cakes a long time ago, this fair had a little homemade roast beef pit where they would make these gigantic roast beef sandwiches. And they had like a rotisserie deal set up with these big pieces of meat, of beef roasting and rotating over these coals. But then they would put it on the meat slicer and slice it, and it would be red as hell, man.
Right.
So I would have to fool myself by putting like steak sauce or Worcestershire sauce on there.
See, that's
make it brown again, you know?
Yes.
Because my dough would end up being pink in
right.
the bun.
That's another pet peeve is I used to yell at Camden so much when she was younger. She's now grown out of it or whatever. And it's putting ketchup on steak. Oh, my God, what are you doing?
Yeah,
are you eating steak?
It's an acquired taste. That's where it is. It's a trip. I grew up dipping it in ketchup, and then the grown-ups used A1. You know?
Like, I mean,
so I graduated
get,
A1.
I totally get putting something on dry-ass overcooked steak or hamburger because there's no taste.
Yeah.
So I get dipping that in ketchup.
Yeah.
But that's the reason you're doing it is because it has no flavor in the meat. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, but it's like putting, I don't know, whatever. It's
one of them chewy leather ketchup balls.
Exactly. Anyway, so yes, different. But other than that, though, as far as food, we'll eat pretty much anything. I mean, I'm not picky
things,
at all.
Just eat different ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've never been picky about food. Okay, so we have a question here on Patreon from Heinous, and this is funny because you asked this earlier, but when you drove up, Area 51 in Groom Lake, what's the deal? When we just talked about Bob Lazar last week.
Exactly.
And now we got this big thing going on.
I think we spurred this.
We might have, or Joe Rogan maybe.
Yeah, he might have had something to
maybe
do with
had
it.
Something to do with it. But yeah, so there's this big thing. I don't know what the dates are. You said it
September.
Earlier.
I think it's September 20th, maybe.
And it's actually an event on Facebook. I don't know how many people are marked as going, But let's all rush Groom Lake, Area 51, to find out what's going on. They can't kill us all.
Right.
And my response is, yes, they can.
They damn sure can.
They're capable. Yeah, they're capable. I don't think they will. I don't think there'll be any killings. But, yeah, if that seriously happens, it can go one of two ways. And you had the best idea, you said earlier. I'll let you tell it. But I was just saying, if they think they're going out there and get anywhere close to those places, they're crazy.
I told Chris, I said, if our government has any sense of humor at all, yes. they've got time. They could hire some Hollywood special effects guys and really set up something funny.
Yes.
And then film the people running from whatever they put in there.
They need to do that.
Just put some alien, the classic alien like Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, that or yeah, exactly. That'd be funny. Putting actual xenomorphs out there. They could rig up some flying saucers and whatever.
They could make it realistic as hell. But I told Chris and, see if we can get something going here. I want us to go take a road trip out there and document this.
Shit, that's a fly trip right
just
there.
Just kind of stay away from it. We wouldn't rush the gates or anything, but stay back and film the people doing it and be like reporters.
Yeah, it would be fun to see. I'll be interested in seeing what actually happens, and I'm sure it's garnered enough attention for news media to go out there. But if they think, again, there's so much of a land grab because there are top secret things going on there, around that area, they can't get close to that shit. And not to mention, you could simply die of radioactive poisoning in the next couple of years if you walk in the wrong location.
And as paranoid as I am, I don't want to risk anything close to that. I'm scared of getting sunburnt too bad.
Yeah, you walk out to a big flat area with a bunch of holes in the ground, you're probably going to die 2 years later.
Yeah, a miserable death.
As a matter of fact, we talked about the guy in the whole Bob Lazar story that did that.
In my mind. What
happened to him.
He literally just took one hiking trip.
One hiking trip, made it all the way through, no security. He didn't run, or he dodged him, or whatever happened.
Yeah.
And he died 2 years later because that's old bombing ranges and shit out there. So, but yeah, as far as actually Area 51, I've always said there's something going on out there. There's always military, it's obviously military installations. They finally acknowledged it. 10 years ago? Not even 10, 15 years ago?
The hell was that?
What in the hell?
That was a ghost.
That was a Netflix HBO thing.
That was Netflix. It's not my phone, dude. That's creepy.
That was loud. Did my phone do something?
That's the only... Your computer screen's not on?
This is the computer.
Oh, that's right.
He There's brought nothing it in here.
I'm looking at his blank monitor.
My phone.
In the other
I'll cut this out. My phone's in there, but that was too loud.
Don't cut it out. That's scary.
Yeah.
We're
what
talking
the hell
about
was
Area
that?
51.
No shit.
Netflix.
Anyway, so yeah, as far as Groom Lake itself, I absolutely believe they've developed some high, at least at the very minimum, secretive aircraft. Like the Blackbirds and all that kind of stuff has been out there. Stealth bombers and all that kind of stuff. And I do, like we mentioned last week, I don't know 100% if there's alien technology there or if Roswell was a hoax and all that other bullshit, but I definitely believe in there is other life out there. Now, whether it's here or not, that's a whole nother podcast.
Well, you
so,
said
anyway,
way before this Bob Lazar stuff that there's been like a conspiracy theory that we're using alien tech every day now.
Yeah, I was saying, because if you look at, supposedly all this kind of happened with the Roswell thing in, 47? And then you had the explosion of technology in the last 50 years or so with the invention of the transistor and all that kind of stuff. Everything that's making all this tech possible, it's such a hyper-fast rate.
It is really fast.
People think that we have reverse engineered alien technology.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Once you look into a transistor and what it is as compared to a vacuum tube, it's the same thing. So we already had that. So it's kind of a leap in a way to go from we already had this big glass tube of gas and then over here to this thing that's basically a little switch. I don't necessarily see that. But I mean, there's something to it maybe. And the timing's odd.
Yeah,
and it's really, really hyper fast.
As soon as you get used to something, you're already behind the curve.
Yes,
it's coming out at that rate, and so that kind of freaks me out.
Yeah, so there may be something to that. I don't know. Huh?
Everything's touchscreen.
Yeah, yeah, touchscreen now. Bendable.
Yeah,
bendable touchscreens.
That is so.
I mean, it's
weird.
Literally like we were talking about before the Bob Lazar podcast, Star Trek coming true.
Yeah,
I mean, mm-hmm. things on Star Trek, the iPad, you know, little things like that. That was all like just a. It was science fiction, you know, 30 years ago, and now it's like you're not normal if you don't have something like that.
You said iPad. That reminded me. Think about iPods.
Yeah,
I mean, dude. People spend a ton of money on iPods, and that was just a really flash in the pan. I mean,
oh yeah, that didn't last.
One of the biggest, greatest inventions ever. Everybody was loving it, and now all of a sudden, you just use your phone.
Yeah, there's no reason to. And for up until just a few years ago, I guess you can still buy them. I guess.
Yeah, I've still got a nice separate iPod Touch with the dual cameras and everything, and it's just basically a phone.
Yeah, that's all it is. And that's the thing. We don't. The phones are not even the part anymore. People use.
No.
It's everything else. The apps and whatever, you know, music, and then texting is communication.
Yep.
Nobody calls anymore. Rarely, mm-hmm. unless it's a.
An asshole.
No, you know, unless it's a business thing or you're calling something, you know, something official right. or whatever. Nobody wants to call anymore. Anyway, now we're going
and to... And that could be another podcast because who's to say whether that's good or bad? Or,
exactly, you know. Exactly. Because now we're going to start... If we go down that road, we'll get back into, you know, analog versus digital and remembering old phone numbers. We've mentioned all that shit before, yeah. So we don't want to rehash that, but... I guess go ahead with one of your questions, Aaron, and I'll grab another Patreon after whatever you have from YouTube.
I got one from Steve French. It says, if you could see any band, dead or alive, who and where? And the follow-up is, what person would you love to meet, dead or alive?
Oh, band. Dead or alive, see a band. I don't know. You know, I've never been a huge concert person. I've not been. I mean, I'm a music person,
right?
But I've never been to concerts. I don't know. That's a hard. You have
honestly. I'm believe it or not. I've been to some great concerts, but I'm not a concert person either. There are people who just cannot wait. Concert tours are announced, they'll book their tickets and stuff and can't wait. I'm not. It's not my dislike of seeing a band live because I would love that. It's the giant crowd and the heat and the prices of everything.
Yes, exactly.
And it's just the parking and all that. I don't dig all that hubbub that goes along with it.
I don't either. And that's the thing. I don't like giant crowds, honestly. Yeah. So that's the one thing. I took my daughter to one in Charlotte here recently, or not recently, but well, more recently, but, before that, I can't remember last time I went to a concert. Besides, there's been a couple little local things
mm-hmm.
where there's little, you know, live music or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I would go see anybody, actually. I would like to see Metallica live, probably.
Right, right.
Or, you know, when it goes over, if we're flipping over to my other genre, hip-hop, I'd like to see Tupac.
Right.
When he was still going, but... I don't know.
And we had this talk not long ago about, you know, with that hologram they did of Tupac, you about can see anybody, whether they're dead or alive.
That's true. And apparently now they've done Easy. And I think that was, what place was that? The Coachella? No, not Coachella. It was someplace in Vegas, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But the one, that video I watched with Snoop and Tupac rapping together.
Yes, doing.
If you guys have not seen that,
America's Most Wanted.
Go look at that YouTube video that somebody filmed. It of course it looks a little odd, but it's close enough, dude.
It's crazy. It's
they're
crazy.
Almost There's interacting a, on stage.
It is. It's an actual. That's that again. Back to Star Trek. That's Star Trek holodeck shit right there. It's getting there. It's getting to that point.
But for me,
I don't know.
Huge. My favorite band is of all time is Fleetwood Mac, of course, and I love Led Zeppelin. And of course, I can see Fleetwood Mac now. Not the lineup I would like to see, but I could see them. They still tour sometimes. But if I could, I would go back and see Led Zeppelin, you know, before Bonham died, and see them in their heyday, in their prime. I think that would probably be the one I would pick.
Now, yeah, I don't know. I would go to a few things probably but like I said, it's just the big ones.
I like to see Elvis Presley.
I was going to say while we're on the music thing. Do you like, I know I'm in the minority here. I've never liked the Beatles at all.
That's funny you ask, because this is how I answer that every time. I do listen to quite a few, you know, Beatles tunes here and there, but I think I'm weird in the fact that I like the Beatles music after they broke up. I like
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I love all their solo stuff, or Paul McCartney and Wings stuff, and George Harrison's solo projects, and him with the Traveling Wilburys. I love it post Beatles for some reason. Love all of John Lennon's solo stuff. So I don't know. It's weird. And together, you know, they made some awesome songs, but it's just a little different time for me.
Yeah,
you
know? I think so. And I know that's always it's because I think that's a common thing, Elvis or the Beatles. For me, neither.
Right.
Neither. So, my mom is a huge, huge Elvis fan. They were in that time period. Grew up. She still goes occasionally to see these impersonators, you know, at the beach where she lives. They're everywhere. They go to, and my aunt too, her sister. I've like a couple Elvis songs, but I mean, I'm not going out and buying records, or I don't have a collection or whatever,
right,
from either one of them. But I've always meant to say that when we brought up music. I've never liked the Beatles. I mean, some of their songs are okay. I'm not, you know, but I've never bought a Beatles album or anything like that.
I dig them. I do, but I like them individually. And
don't get me wrong, I appreciate all music. I really do, but you're just not a fan.
I used to be known for being a huge Elvis fan, like ridiculous. I had a TCB tag on the front of my van. I had posters in my room. I had a gold Elvis bust that was about 2 feet tall, and I painted it gold, by the way. It was just white plaster when I got it, but I painted it gold. And I don't know. I had teddy bears and, you know, a doll. It was just, I loved it. I'm weird too, that I like the Vegas days Elvis better.
I can definitely see the appeal for sure. But that just brought me to my answer for the concert that I would choose. I would go see Michael Jackson in his prime.
Wow, that would be amazing.
I love MJ. I loved old school MJ. I'm telling you right now, to me, he's still the best damn dancer I've ever seen.
Dude, that would be a good
show. I would
pick
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I would definitely see that too.
The king of pop, absolutely. I don't know why I didn't think about that earlier. I was thinking more modern or contemporary stuff, but yeah, that would be the one I picked before anybody.
I would have a sleepover with him too. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, in the same bed.
I don't know about all that. Unless there's a ghost in the house.
Right.
Right. But how about the follow-up part? Now, this is where you really got to think.
Oh, okay.
What person would you love to meet?
Yeah, God, there's so... Well, okay. I mean, from a mod... These are like... You got to break this up into eras or something.
I was just thinking the same thing. This is hard.
A modern era that had a big influence on me, it's Michael Jordan.
Right.
I mean, it's not just about sports. It's just about
talking about paying $100 to get an autograph. Let's meet even a dinner or something where you actually hang out with this person.
Hang out with the person. Yeah. But from a modern, you know, I guess role model type perspective, growing up, Michael Jordan for me in that regard. I mean, I'm sure there's, as you tell yours, I'm sure I'll think of other people as far as more, you know, that changed the world in ways or something, I'm sure. But right. Yeah, I mean, it went beyond basketball for me with him. But that's what drove me as a kid. I mean, it's just my experience. If I'd been born, you know, a decade earlier, it'd probably been he probably might not even been in the picture. Who knows? You know.
I know what you mean.
It's all kind of generational with people.
So let's do it that way then. Okay, I'll pick a sports one. Probably would be Nolan Ryan. I'd probably like to hang out with Nolan. What about any kind of like founding fathers or any political figure?
Well, that's what I was going to say. When it comes to as far as, because you kind of got to break them up. And I mean, it's hard to narrow down just to one person because, you know, a lot of people would say, you know, Jesus Christ, if you're religious or whatever. I would say probably Lincoln.
I said founding fathers, then I said political, and then immediately my mind went to Lincoln.
I think so. That's I think that's a big figure in American history. I would love to meet some old school, and most people wouldn't know this unless you're into Japanese culture, some old school Japanese guys from back in the day. Since I was into that world for a long time in martial arts and the whole history of it, the founders of these things. So some people like that too. I know a lot of people say the Dalai Lama, people like that. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard. That's a hard one. There's so many.
I would love to have hung out with Hugh Hefner during his heyday. Yeah. That would have been cool. I used to be really big into Hugh Hefner. I used to tell people if I could hang out with anybody or live anybody's life, it would have been Elvis or Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, yes. And when you're younger,
there's fringe benefits I know that yes. come along with that.
Yes,
but no,
absolutely.
Seriously, the way their houses, the mansions, and they had, you know, these unbelievable places that people like to hang out. And Hugh Hefner's place was the hangout place.
Yes.
With the pools, you know, the famous grotto and the damn video games. And he had like one of the biggest private movie collections and with a theater. And I don't know. I think it's really cool. And he was always in his damn pajamas.
Always.
How cool of a life would that be?
Slippers,
man?
Pajamas with a cigar.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. That's, yeah, Hugh Hefner would probably be on my list.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I don't know. I think there's so many people. There's so many people that it changed the world in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. Or they don't even have to. It doesn't have to be that though.
Maybe like an Einstein or somebody like that.
Exactly what I was going to say. You read my mind. I was going to say somebody like Einstein just to sit down. That would be one of my top five.
Or
I'm
Tesla.
Sure.
He would be amazing
to sit down and talk to those guys and find out just how they think, you know, because that's always intrigued me.
Agreed.
You know? Because
could you have a normal conversation with somebody that smart?
Yeah, I think so with him. By everything I've read and the little bit of video footage I've seen, and I think he was a pretty normal guy. He was just one of those guys like me who apparently, you know, didn't remember the small things like phone numbers and shit, but he didn't have, because he was like, if there's no need to take up space in my brain with shit like that when I can look it up, you know, when you got Google, why know everything? That's kind of, I guess. It's
yeah.
But yeah, Einstein just to sit down and have a conversation. Cause think about, we have the relativity and general relativity and all that stuff based off just thought experiments. He sat around, looked out the window, saw something, it triggered something in his brain. And he had this what if scenario. And that's what led us to the biggest so far.
And that was,
theory and history.
That was one of the cool documentaries we watched together, was that race to film the eclipse,
yes,
to take pictures of the eclipse.
To prove the bent light theory.
Prove or disprove. They were
exactly.
Different teams, and they were
trying hard. In the middle of war.
Yeah. So. And they would go in the jungle and cut out all these trees and stuff and try to set up shop there, and only to miss the photo opportunity for some reason.
Or to come out bad or something.
God, that was
crazy.
So crazy. But, yeah, he was very influential. Babe Ruth would be a good one, you know, somebody like that. I don't know. It's tough, man. I mean, I'm sure there are people who would say, you're crazy, go back farther than that. But I don't know. I wouldn't want to go back too awful far, I don't believe.
Yeah, I like to, for going back that far, it's like the first guy who ever, I don't know what exactly I'm looking for, but like the first guy to ever do something modern, like the first man to use a tool or something.
Oh,
you know what
wow,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something like that, if you went back that far, like something that changed society.
Yeah, if there was a wheel you could spin or something, yeah. And you'd come back and I'd be like, who'd you get to meet? I got to meet the guy who invented the ratchet and socket.
Exactly.
It's like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
He was cool, though. He was really cool.
You know, but those little things are interesting, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because it changed everything, you know, in some way, shape, or form. So I don't know. But I guess naturally you'd gravitate to bigger personalities and more famous ones. But there's a lot of people out there that are unknown, that you, like this guy.
You're
like,
right, dude.
That changed the world, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
So. I love that movie they made about the guy who invented the intermittent windshield wiper. Did you see that?
No.
And Ford stole his patents, stole his idea.
No, uh-uh.
That's a good movie. You ought to watch that sometime.
Yeah,
that guy fought Ford for years.
People's stories are just intriguing in general. That's why stories are such a pop. Everything's a story. That's why pop culture is so huge. You know, mm-hmm. Everything's a story.
And everybody has a story.
Everybody has a story.
Some people sell themselves short, don't they?
Exactly. It doesn't matter if you're known or not. Everybody has a story, and it's unique and interesting. I would love, speaking of just people in general, so I couldn't put a name on them, but I've seriously thought about interviewing World War II vets.
Right.
People like that.
That would be awesome.
Having that insight. They're running out, man. Exactly. Exactly. That's a whole different insight that we can't even fathom.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And in that vet's mind, you're asking him questions and you're thinking his famous, these big stories in his life would be from the war. And he might say, this one time I got kicked by a mule and woke up and thought Nixon was president. You know what I mean? It's right. Like, you don't know. Everybody's got these stories that just need to get
exactly.
out.
Exactly. And that just made me think of when I went to Cherokee last year. Because I've been trying to go there once a year. We're going to go, by the way.
Yeah,
we're going to go play some cards. But I go up there
counting
and fishing.
Cards.
And
definitely counting cards.
$100. I need to go to Kmart. But yeah, I met a guy named General. His name is General. And he is the, supposedly, I believe, the claim is he's the last Cherokee native silversmith.
Oh, I remember you telling me this.
I got to meet him and look through his shop and all that stuff. And I thought, damn, that would be cool to sit down and interview this guy. Just talk to him about his history, his past, you know, how his parents were, why he was named. His full name is General Grant. So he was named after Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah, what a name.
And I know the general backstory of what Grant did for the Indians and all that stuff, or Native Americans, whatever we're supposed to call people now. But that would be an interesting conversation because he's a guy who still holds the Native belief system and all that kind of stuff. Very down-to-earth, cool guy. He's got a really interesting story. Like, his wife is German, and it was interesting how they met. He told us a couple little things. But I would love to sit down and just talk to that guy. So it doesn't have to be a famous.
No, it doesn't.
This is a guy named General Grant. He's in Cherokee, North Carolina, and he has a little silver shop. Right beside his house, and it's not on a main road or anything. I think he has some stuff in a little shop downtown Cherokee where the little shops are and stuff, but he has his main shop where he actually puts all this together. Really cool. Awesome. I bought a little necklace. It's got a buffalo tooth.
I love it.
You know, and that's supposed to bring luck and healing. So it's all kinds of cool stuff and stories for behind all that stuff.
You should really think about doing that.
I'd love to.
I personally would love that, to like anybody from any walk of life, just hit them, you know, get you a little stack of questions to get them warmed up, and then right. something will come out.
Yes,
out of everybody. Exactly. I guarantee it.
Absolutely. That'll be fun. Let's move on to another one here. I have Proto Peach here on Patreon. Thank you, Peach. Her question is, what's the farthest you guys have traveled from home? Have you ever lived somewhere other than North Carolina? What is your dream destination to visit? I'll start. The farthest I've been as far as just traveling has been San Francisco. I've never been out of the country, technically.
Right.
I did go there for a week for work, so not a big deal, but that's the farthest I've been as far as, you know.
It's farther than me.
3,000 yeah. miles across the country. Hung out there a week, and I was there alone when I was at work, so I would get off work a little early just because I kind of could. And I was in San Francisco, so I wanted to go. I hung around Fisherman's Wharf, and I told you before, I wanted to go see Alcatraz. So I was like, I left work a day early, and I'm like, I'm going to see Alcatraz tonight. They have these night tours. That would be cool as hell.
Yeah, it would
got
be.
There at night. No, you gotta register 6 months in advance. There's a wait.
That's nuts.
And I could never go out. I mean, I could see Alcatraz from the shore.
Which is cool.
It was very cool, but I couldn't go, damn it. So yeah,
just seeing the Golden Gate Bridge would probably be
impressive. I did drive across that two or three times, and the reason I didn't do more because it's $5 a piece, toll.
The toll? Wow.
It's $5 to drive across the damn bridge.
Wow, they've racked up over the years.
I'm telling you. $5 a pop, yeah. And there's so much traffic, it's insane. So that's the farthest I've been. I have lived... in South Carolina, I lived at the beach for a while, had a little business down there for a couple of years. And obviously when I was in college, I lived out east when I went to East Carolina. But other than that, I've pretty much stayed around here. I have not lived anywhere like too far away.
Right. And for me, I have been like the farthest I've been is Key West maybe. And north, I've been across the border into Maine just to say. Because I did actually live in Massachusetts for about 6 months.
Right, you were doing the contract.
Yeah.
That's when we started poker.
So I hit all those New England states while I was there. So that's north. That's about as far. West was when I went to con last year in Dallas. That's as far west as I've been.
Right.
And then I've been to Chicago and lived there for just a little while, Great Lakes, when I was in the Navy. So, yeah, that I've just covered, you know, most of the states, most all of the states in the East. I think I figured it up one time I've been to like 18 states or 20, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, probably same for me, and on the East Coast up to Ohio all the way to Florida. No, and probably Kentucky, maybe mm-hmm. farther as far as driving.
Yeah.
Other than that, I did technically go to Baltimore on the way to Vegas, but it was a flight.
Yeah.
Just in and out.
I briefly lived in Knoxville. I don't know if you remember that, but I did. I tried to sell mobile homes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, for a little while. But I'm a homer. I love it here.
I do too.
I have a hard time when I go stay somewhere else for a long period.
I get people, you know, leaving for jobs and stuff like that, and I probably would have had that opportunity at Microsoft, but I would never move to Seattle. There's no way in hell. But North Carolina is unique, and I should say some of the eastern states, because we have literally 3-4 hours to the east. We have beaches, and you drive 2 hours to the west, and you have mountains, and rolling hills in between, so it's unique. I don't think I would live any other
place. We have all four seasons.
Yes.
Clearly defined seasons. I mean, sometimes
kind of blend together.
Feel like they fly, but...
Yes.
But for the most part, yeah.
But the last part of this question that Peach is asking, dream destination. I think I mentioned this before. Mine would be an odd place called Mount Tagakure in Japan. Now it's old Tagakure, it's old Iga, which is an old province. Now it's near modern Tokyo, and it's where the ninja started, the martial art I studied, and this the origin story of the ninja there. And we have a place here in North Carolina called Shin Tagakure, which means heart of, or spirit of Tagakure, which is the same elevation, the same foliage and all that kind of stuff, where we had a place we went every year for training. It's where I got my black belts and all that kind of stuff, as I told you that before. But I want to go to the original, because there's still areas out there where people still live the old lifestyle. If you've ever seen The Last Samurai, that's a pretty accurate depiction for a movie. There's still some villages and farms like that.
Yeah, I'd like to see something like that.
So that would be me, old Iga, Japan, for a dream destination. It's not some fucking beach somewhere with white sand. I would love that, probably. But not as much as mountains. So for me, it's about the history. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't have like one, because I haven't traveled much. I think I would just like to maybe rent an RV and do a road trip around the United States and see the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
Go see the Redwood Forest.
I definitely want to go to Yellowstone.
Yeah, I'd love. And yep, Yellowstone. And just, you know, I'd like to go to that Four Corners place where you can lay down and be in four states at one time.
Oh, yes,
get a picture.
That's cool.
I'd like to do that. There's just a lot of things I'd like to see in Niagara Falls.
I agree. I was going to say, I've always wanted to do that. My mom did that years ago, and I couldn't go because of work. And she took my daughter when she was young, and they took a road trip from here and went to Yellowstone all the way up to, I think it was Glacier National Park, which is on the border of Canada, out west in Montana, I believe. Somewhere like that, I believe. And they went this whole trip and it took them 2 months, and I was wanting to go so bad. But I've always wanted to drive around in an RV and just visit everything here. So that would be another awesome trip.
For me, you know, to top it off, you know, have a lady that I loved on that trip with me to make all those memories, and then have those in my mental Rolodex, you know, on my deathbed. That's kind of the way I look at it. I would just love to make memories, and that would be fun. That would be the best trip I can imagine.
So, yeah, that'd be cool. Do you have another?
Outside of the States, I would just, I think I'm just drawn to somewhere like Ireland or something like that.
Yeah. I would definitely love to go to Ireland and, you know, the motherland.
Yeah.
As you could say. There's definitely some places there I'd visit. That's just the whole Japanese culture thing's always been a cool thing for me.
And by, you know, emailing and stuff with people that I've met through YouTube and stuff, the weather, everything about it just seems cool. So, yeah, somewhere like Ireland or Scotland or something like that. I think I would enjoy.
Let's see here. Did you have another one?
No, that was it. Yep.
Okay. I'm trying to. Heinous here has a shit ton of questions. I'm trying to just pick a couple here because we're already at like 50 minutes, I think. Well, this one says ghost story, but James has a good ghost story. He's told this before. I don't know if you told it on your channel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any ghost stories.
I've told it on here.
I think we
together,
did.
Together, we've done that.
I think we did. Oh, I think it was the old Side Effect podcast. We did ghost stories.
Maybe.
I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, James has a ghost story. That would take a minute.
It would. Maybe we could do a ghost
podcast. We can do another one of these. We have all these questions here, too. We'll definitely use some more. Let me go down here to Anonymous is asking here on Patreon, do you watch your own videos back after uploading your Q&As? I used to. Not necessarily Q&As, but I would watch everything back just to self-feedback.
Yeah.
It was always very odd, and still is. But I don't really anymore. I mean, I check everything while I'm editing, if we're talking about an edited video. And obviously, I've seen it by the time it's actually published. I've seen it 5 or 6 times. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't watch them back on YouTube.
I do a lot. I definitely, all these podcasts I listen to, which we're not watching each other yet, watching ourselves yet, but I listen to these all the time, every time. And I do look back at videos that I've uploaded, especially like my baseball card opening videos and stuff, and my Muhammad Ali video. I'll every probably 3 months I'll go through and watch them again, and sometimes I cringe, but I enjoy it.
Nah, they're good, and I think they're you need to do this stuff again. I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah,
and people mention it because James has the most incredible, not only his sports stuff from baseball cards and stats, which is just unbelievable knowledge, but he's got the most amazing fucking stories of anybody I've ever met in my life. Again, I don't have a memory or something. I don't know what's going on. But
I've done a lot of, and anybody that has followed us can see, obviously, but you know, put my life on hold for a little while. I don't know exactly what it is. It's kind of a reset. I'm hitting a reset button in my life, I think, because I'm back on my feet now, so I'm proud of that.
Right.
But I'm as lonely as I've ever been, and I don't like feeling like I've lost my dream, my ability to dream.
Yes.
I'm starting to feel like I'm in a rut so bad that I'm asking myself, is this it? You know, and used to, a few years ago, I was still a dreamer, still thought I could be anything when I grew up.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I am at a all-time low, self-esteem-wise, and I don't know what it is. So I didn't mean to branch off into that, but, you know, when you said I need to do that again, lately I've been thinking about that a lot. It's like, I really need to get some things out of me and start trying to be creative again.
Yeah, it's like we were saying before. I mean, and don't ever let go of that. And anybody that's listening, so don't ever let go of that dreaming thing. That's the problem in this modern society, is because Anonymous is also asking here, what's the most positive and hopeful thing you've seen going on in the world these days? That's a negative thing. It's almost an opposite of your question, Anonymous, but people don't dream anymore. There's if you look at the things when we were kids, and it's not about just, you know, the good old days or whatever. It's not, I'm not trying to be cliche about, you know, in our generation, we used to do this, this, and this. But when we were kids, the shuttle launches were a big deal. I watched a movie called Space Camp every single day until the tape broke.
Right, right.
I wanted to be in space and be an astronaut and things like that when I was young, before I got basketball dreams and all this kind of shit. But that's what kept you motivated, and I'm still like that to this day. I've been in the same kind of place you're saying emotionally, James, but what I do, and it seems to help, doesn't necessarily fix everything. I just go to my creative space, I think, is the difference, and it seems to help me through those times.
Right.
So don't let go of that a dreaming thing. I'm too old. That's just a number. You know, it's all a choice, and I'm not the one to damn give the best advice on good choices. But I'm just saying that mentality, I think it gets you through if you focus on whether it's YouTube or something that you really like to do, that helps you pull through those times. For me.
Well,
for me.
You know what it's like? Like, say there's a big lottery coming up and you buy a ticket. And for those day or two, that day or two that you have this ticket in your pocket.
Yes.
Occasionally there's a little bit of dream of what yes. you're going to do if you hit this and who you're going to help and what kind of mansion you're going to build and what kind of car you're going to buy. And it feels really good. It's a good feeling to have hope and dreams like that, right? I've always had that feeling about my life. Like, I'm holding a winning lottery ticket. The numbers just haven't been drawn yet. Lately, I'm starting to feel like, nah, bud, you know, your numbers are never going to come up. You're going to have to just face the facts. I'm not afraid of hard work. You know, I am my worst enemy. Sometimes I get in my head and doubt creeps in. And I am weird in the fact, I think I'm weird. I don't think I'm unique, but a little weird, that I need attaboys. I need pats on the back. I need to know that what I'm doing is making somebody happy, is make somebody appreciates me and what I do. And if those dry up, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. I feel like I'm not worthy. And I don't know why that I need that input to make my life, you know, to live my life a certain way, a different way.
Right.
Because I'm a fun-loving guy. I have a reputation as being always positive. Yeah,
that's the thing. Exactly. I was going to say, that's the thing. You know, I think that's, I don't know, it's odd. I'm kind of the opposite. I've always been really confident in whatever, but I get what you're saying. It's like, it's almost like you don't realize you need that kind of thing till it's gone or something, but then it almost, in your case, I think you're saying it debilitates you.
It does.
To where you...
It handicaps me bad.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. That whole thing, and it sounds so cliche. I don't know if we got into a therapy session somehow.
Right,
I'm not sure how. But yeah, I think strength comes with it from within in some way, and it's not this external shit of who's patting you on the back and who's telling you this or that or whatever.
See, I can tell myself all this. I do. I watch so many self-help videos you wouldn't believe. And this crosses over into like my love life. So like if my partner doesn't validate certain things, say, hey, I really appreciate what you did or said or whatever, or, you know, I think about you all the time, or I need these positive things. And if they would come, I could climb Mount Everest. But if they don't, I'm like, what's wrong with me?
Right.
What am I doing wrong? They can't see how special I am or how I think I am.
Right.
And then when it doesn't come long enough, you start thinking, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not special. Maybe I have this skewed view of myself, you know, and I shouldn't expect somebody to pat me on the back because I'm not worthy of a pat on the back. So it really screws me up. I think all these different, I play all these different scenarios in my head, and I can drive myself crazy sometimes.
Yeah, I guess that's my thing. I don't think it's not that you or anybody's not worthy. I just don't expect it. I just don't think it's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? From the,
cause I and, give and the real, kudos in the real to world. People. I do. I pat people on the back. If somebody does a good job, I tell them. If a lover says something that I really appreciate that might be simple, I let them know, hey, man, that sentence that you texted me meant the world to me.
Right.
You know, I do that. So in kind, I feel like I should, you know, it should be reciprocated. But not everybody's wired the same.
Right.
So it's tough, you know. I don't know. I didn't mean to go off on that, but I have been in a funk, and that has a lot to do with it, is just feeling like I'm losing my dream. I had all these big plans, and you know, I guess talking about taking that trip kind of got me thinking this way.
No, I get what you're saying, and the thing is I'm, you know, you're an old-school romantic like that after all the conversations we've had, and I am at heart. My problem is the last... I don't know, 6 years now. I've really, and I'm starting to loosen up more recently, but I've just iced up my soul. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just iced up. Like, ice up, son. I picture Steve Smith. I picture Steve Smith saying that on this old interview. But I really had to put, I don't know, it was, I guess, a self-protection thing, a defense mechanism, whatever, where I had to ice up my heart for a long time. And it's really odd. So I'm trying, I recognize that at least, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to chip away at that, you know, because it was more about when I went through the personal thing with my ex and all that kind of stuff is what started it. Because before that, I was one of those classic romantics, and I still am at heart, like I said, I think, but it's just a matter of getting those, you know, chipping that away. Because it started to permeate into other aspects of things where I'm over analytical and over this and that. And it really bothered me that it affected my daughter and I's relationship. Not horribly or anything. It was just I felt like there was some days or weeks or times when I was too distant. And so I've had recent conversation with her about those type of things, and there was a lot of shit going on, you know, and this is when I started YouTube and all that pressure and trying to stay afloat and everything else. But so it was a combination thing. So, but no, yeah, I mean, it's I guess that is the first step, is to recognize these things, you know. I don't
know. Yeah. And honestly, like with YouTube, if I'm the kind of guy who likes attaboys and kudos, you know,
that's where you go get them.
You do get them on YouTube.
Absolutely.
And every time I did put out a video, and I would get a few comments, and they were really good. You know, I mean, even something as simple as you have a nice smile or, you know, great point. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Good
as,
point.
As long as it's like somebody pouring positivity into me, I don't know. And some comments are the opposite. They're horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you fat redneck, you know?
Right. But we can always monkey man them. Well, right. That's always fun, though.
And so,
because the positive by far in this community over the last 3 years has far outweighed those little comments.
Yeah.
Those you know, because I used to really, when I started this, I was going to start doing a weekly video reading hate comments, because there were enough back then. You know,
right.
The redneck, the accent, you can't read, you know, all this kind of shit. And I really actually enjoyed them because the positive by far outweighed those, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you would think that somebody like me who needs positivity to even get out of bed in the morning, I would be tore up by negative comments, but I'm not. I can laugh those off. There's
right.
something weird there. You would think that they would have the opposite effect, but they don't. They don't bother me as much as positive helps. And so I don't know. I know there are a lot of people rooting for me. There are people who reach out to me. There are people in this family, this YouTube community, reach out to me and check on me, at least I would say weekly. And that makes me feel really good. And those people get me, and they know, you know, that I need somebody to check on me from time to time. Because there's a weird point in your life when you raise your kids and they don't need you anymore.
Yes.
You have this really weird feeling of, I want to be needed.
Right.
I want somebody to want me. I want somebody to need me. And your kids don't need you anymore. And you're like, what's my purpose?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, anybody that's had kids, it's now are empty nesters. I'm not quite, my daughter's 18, so I'm pretty much there. But yeah, she don't need me anymore.
She doesn't.
She, you know, so yeah,
she could get married tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
And all of a sudden, there's another dude.
By God, she's not, but she could.
That's right. And so the not having somebody to bounce things off of. I know we got this. This is going long, but how about this? Just leaving here, just moving out of here.
Yes.
And not having somebody to say, man, I had a shitty day, and somebody say, what happened? And let you get that off your chest.
Right. Right.
You don't realize how important that is.
Yeah.
And then instead, what you do is you have a shitty day, and you go home and you dwell on that shitty day. You can't vent it and get that pressure off of you and bitch about it. You don't have anybody to bitch about it. There's no sounding board there. People take that for granted. They don't realize it. So, yeah, reach out to your friends, man. You never know. They might need somebody to
Yeah, and I think all this kind of stuff, especially what we're saying coming from, you know, 40 something men at least, that whole midlife crisis thing is it's the class. I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, right. I
you
think
know,
so.
Where you start, because what you know,
it's a joke when you're younger.
It is. It's yeah. a joke, but it you know, it's legit, and it's not a crisis as much as it is just change. Because like you said, you don't you know, your kids don't really need you. I mean, they do in a sense, because I still call my mom for advice. You know, I'm 40 fucking
of course,
three,
but
4
I mean,
years old.
Daily.
But daily, yes. Yeah. They don't need you.
Right.
You know? You're not feeding them anymore and whatever. Yeah. But yeah, but that's why you, like I said, I think that's why people start, the good thing about that is you have that time now to do things you never could before. That you had to sacrifice for 18 years or
yep,
more.
That's right.
So in my case, I try to pour it into creativity, and I'm doing this book thing now. I actually did the first video on it yesterday.
I liked it.
Yeah, something completely different from my channel, but I'm really excited about it. So I'm trying to look, and this is where the, like you said, the traveling earlier comes up, you know, comes in the traveling and the time. So people start buying the things they always wanted, you know, they couldn't, you know, they sacrificed for their kids or whatever. So yes. It's not much so much a crisis as it is just like a stage 2 or stage 3 or whatever you
it's
want to call it.
It's a good way to look at it.
You know what I mean?
It really is. Next chapter.
Next chapter.
Yep.
Exactly.
And what are you going to do with it?
Exactly.
Are you going to sit around and mope?
Right.
Or are you going to pull yourself up by the bootstraps?
Are you going to say, you know, I'm too old, you know, I'm too old or whatever. I'm
right
at this age. The best days are behind me.
Because my
bullshit.
God, if you want somebody to be attracted to you, they're not going to be attracted to
no,
mopey.
No, no, no.
You know,
no,
so.
They're attracted to confidence.
Right, right.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, we'll do one quick one, really quick. We'll wrap this up. We're probably a little long here, but
that's cool.
It doesn't
we'll
matter.
Enjoy it.
This will be a quick one just for fun. Because and that was cool, though. We went to a therapy session somehow.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
But that's good. This is what we intended to do, because I don't know how many people listen to this podcast as compared to the old live streams and YouTube, you know, Game of Thrones
right
stuff, but there's a lot of people that have always asked us this kind of stuff in live streams, and that's why we want to do it. So here's one from Heinous on Patreon as well. And by the way, guys, I see a lot of other ones here. We'll do more of these.
Sure.
So, yeah, we'll do more of these. So I didn't skip anybody. I picked a few questions from each person. Heinous is asking, have you or James ever had a mullet or a rat tail? I've had a mullet.
Yeah.
Now, that was I was young. I can see I still have the picture somewhere. My mom does.
I've had both.
I never had a rat tail, but I wanted to.
And
I never did it, though. I don't know why or what stopped
the
me.
The trick was just grow your mullet out and then cut it
exactly
into a rat tail.
But I never did. I don't think I had control back then.
The funny you know thing is when we had mullets, they weren't called mullets.
No, they were not. It was you just know a spike.
Yeah.
It was a spike.
And then you had long hair in the back, and everybody had it. And then all of a sudden, somebody named it, and it became like Nickelback.
It apparently. I don't.
It's weird.
I don't get it either. But yeah, that was normal here.
Yeah.
I remember the pictures. I was when I was playing Y basketball, I had a mullet then, and I had the old red Converse.
Oh yeah.
And it was just called a spike then. You got a spike.
Yep.
And your hair was just naturally long in the back in the 70s and 80s. I mean, it's just the way it was. But yeah, the rat tail started happening. I thought it was the coolest shit ever.
Yeah, man.
And then they used it in Star Wars for Padawans, and I never grew. I think I started one, like an actual little piece.
Yep.
Because I'd already had, because at that time I was already buzz cutting my hair.
Yeah.
And I think I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna do this.
Yeah.
I'm too, at that time, probably too old.
The crazy thing is, I remember my senior year. I went into my senior year with long ass hair all over my head, you know, because I was
yes
in the hood crowd. And on a whim, me and Chris said, let's do a rat tail again. They've been out of style for so long.
Not me, Chris.
No,
other
different
Chris.
Yeah. And we both had really, really long hair. And we came into school the next day with that mid-80s rat tail and spike on top. And
right,
it was like instant regret.
But
yes, mine, when
you
I did
cut
that
it off
one,
that night.
When I did that one, it was long like the Padawan, like you're talking about. I could lay it over my shoulder.
Hanging over your shoulder.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it was braided. Yeah, but that was wow.
Yeah,
because you can't just grow
I
back that hair.
I think when I met
fast
you, you still had long hair driving the van.
Yep. Yep,
so
I did. I grew it back. That was after that, of
that's
course.
Why I
yeah
always, y'all have heard me say this before, but I've always made, not made fun of, but said James looked like James Hetfield from Metallica, because he, literally looked just like him when he was younger with long hair. He looked just like, if he would have had the same beard cut,
I know,
or goatee and beard, whatever combination he had at the time, he could have literally walked through a place with a Metallica shirt on and signed autographs.
Yeah, it was crazy for some reason. Something about the nose and everything.
Yeah, everything just was a match. Anyway, so that was
I miss my long hair. That's something else that really bothers me about getting older. You know, Mother Nature took that privilege away from me. My hairstyles are very limited now.
You basically have Lobot from Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I could have.
And that's funny. When I've been, you know, for some of you that remember, I've been learning shittily, but shittily's a new word, by the way, guitar for the last couple months. I itch for long hair now so I can bang my head.
Do it.
Shit, I've thought about growing out on top and just shaving the sides like I used to. Yeah, I do. I do still have the option.
Yes.
It'd be crazy for me, but a crazy look for me.
Now, I could grow mine out, but it would be Gallagher.
Yeah, that's right. Smashing watermelons. I mean,
but I could have a ponytail again if I wanted to. I don't know. I want the whole package.
Yeah, I did that when I was younger. I had the quote-unquote skater haircut. You know, I skated for years and had the, you know, shaved on the sides and underneath. It was long on top, so it hung over your face. And
yeah, I remember that.
And believe it or not, if people who have seen us on stream, for a little while, not too long, I had, like, tight braids.
Oh, yeah.
That was just a thing me and an ex-girlfriend did one day, and I don't know what got into it.
I believe I saw you,
but it's not me, but it was just a thing. It was a phase. That's all it was. Anyway,
and that's the fun part about telling your kids when there's fashions that come and go so quickly.
They have no idea. I still make fun of Camden because
you buy into them wholeheartedly, but you have no idea they'll be gone in a couple months.
I make fun of her all the time. I still do to this day because she has they don't really believe, I don't think. We've told them a million times that everything they've done and wore, we did too.
Yep.
You know, for the longest time, they hated Crocs.
Oh, yeah.
Two people I know that are good friends of mine that wear Crocs, that's you and a buddy named Mark. And y'all wore them for years, and they all made fun of them. And now, you know, just a couple months back, they all had to have them.
Yeah.
The white ones.
Oh, yeah.
So then they hated them before, but then it became a thing.
And the crazy thing is they're so quick to jump on fads and stuff when the tattoo, you know, conversations starts popping up when they're old enough to get tattoos.
That's what we're having now.
You're like, dude, think about it. You know, put some serious thought in this.
I just had this conversation again yesterday.
Like 6 years after you're dead, you'll still have this thing.
Exactly. You know? She walked in the other night. She may walk in any time, actually, but said the same thing. Talking about this tattoo, I said, look, put some more thought into this. That's a cliche saying, and you want it on your forearm. That's not really a place for quotes. You know, the common thing now, I think, is like ribs for girls, right, where they put quotes in their ribs and stuff.
And they look good.
Yeah, they do.
What happens is when so many people do the same tattoo, same looking tattoo,
yes,
all of a sudden there's a backlash about it, which is like what happened with the tramp stamp.
Exactly.
So you have to at least go into it knowing that there's a chance that a couple years from now people are going to be making fun of people with rib tattoos.
That's
right. You never know.
That's right. But I that's another thing too. We're talking about the getting older thing is, you know, I've been doing a lot better off and on, but not consistent enough, you know, getting back into some kind of shape. I want to get tattoos again, and start that up because I feel like I told you the other night, if I start a sleeve like I've always wanted to, cause this one's just sitting here by itself.
Right.
I feel like that would make me want to work out more.
And it would.
I think it absolutely would.
It really, really would. There's no doubt about it because you want to show it off.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just part of it. You want to look good.
And the artwork today is so,
oh God,
so gorgeous compared to when, and I don't know, yeah, I got my first one in 96, I think.
I was raised then. I mean, in this age, yeah, I'd have some serious artwork.
So I've been looking really not close, I guess you could say, at some Japanese samurai style starters.
Yeah, I liked what you showed me.
Yeah, that one was pretty cool. There's some more I've found since then, but I'm thinking about it, and that'll lead me to maybe get more serious about getting back into shape.
And you see me, I've been laying in a tanning bed like crazy. And that has the same effect you're talking about. It's like, well, I want to wear shorts and show off my legs now, but I want to work out too.
Yes.
You know, what if I do happen to be somewhere where now I'm not afraid to be sunburnt, so I take my shirt off. I don't want to look soft. So it does motivate you when yes. you start doing these things. And that's one thing in this little, you know, really low spot I've been in, is I can go to, you know, Planet Fitness in the middle of the night. I have started going there regularly, at least 4 or 5 nights a week, and I have twice now walked the treadmill till it stops on its own. It shuts down after an hour.
Oh,
and
really?
I have literally walked, and I watched like the Bob Lazar documentary, things
right,
like that.
Right.
And I'll walk it till it shuts down, and it makes me feel really good, you know, to do that. I'm
yeah.
not burning a ton of calories, but it's a start.
That's just something. That's right.
Excuse me.
It's better than not moving, period.
Yeah.
Because right now, like I said, the most I'm doing is walking around the backyard, throwing the ball to Riddick, and he needs to be throwing it to me. So, but no, the other...
That's hilarious.
The other week, yeah, I tried to get him to...
That's a viral video.
He can throw it. It just doesn't go but a foot or two.
Yeah.
But the other week, me and Dustin, my cousin, and his brother Zach, when he was in town, we did go play ball. And that's something I want to do a lot more of when it gets cooler. Because I can't stand heat. It makes me anxious. I just can't stand it right now.
I liked it when you said you went to a driving range.
Yeah,
dude.
We went to a driving range.
We
went and hiked out and did the gold panning for a day.
Yeah.
And I was still in pretty decent shape for what I've been sitting around for 4 years.
Well, you have a good gauge when you got a 19-year-old kid with
right.
you. And you can, if you hear
and
them
we played a long game of three-way 21, and it was a long game because I kept purposely missing the 21st point. To exercise longer.
Exactly.
So I shot about six purposely missed free throws so the game wouldn't end. And no, I felt good. I felt good. And then we hiked down there, which is about probably a mile and a half total, maybe there and back. And then you're doing a lot of digging while you're there. It's a pretty good hike. Not a real hard trail, but there is a pretty hard hill.
But the
back
stuff
in the
you
day,
have to carry, though.
Yeah, you're carrying all that shit.
You realize
too.
You carry down. A lot of stuff.
Yes.
When you go pan with Chris, and then the thing is, hopefully, you're carrying more back.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Hopefully.
And it's uphill back.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's a long trek.
That was a good little trek, and you know, I was huffing and puffing a little bit, but I felt good about it. And anyway, I got to get motivated and keep like I'll get in these little spells where 2 or 3 days I'll do great, drink a lot of water, eat salads and better food, and or go to the store and have shit here. But then that runs out, and I'm back to the trash for a week or something.
Have you noticed in your particular situation that maybe you have too many things going on?
Yeah, yeah, I do. Absolutely, my head spins.
You've almost, you know, pieced yourself out. Like, I got to write for my book. I've got to do Twitch to stay relevant. I've got to do YouTube to stay relevant. Sorry. I get those words mixed up sometimes, obviously.
No, you
to stay relevant.
I think you say relevant the first time.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
I think you did.
But yeah, you got to do those things. So,
right.
So where do you fit in hours of working out?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
It is. And then
it's a slippery slope.
Like I said, I'm sitting here at night when I'm done editing or whatever, then I'll practice guitar for 30 minutes or an hour or I'll, you know, so there's so many things I'm doing.
When you do that, you're taking away from something else you could be
exactly.
doing.
Exactly. You
so
got to
balance it.
You got to balance it. Exactly. It's hard to do. And it's when you're a kid, everything's easy and you don't care. You're not thinking about any of that stuff, but it's hard to fucking do. When you get old and have responsibilities and shit, you know, but you got to make that time. Bottom line, you
got to
make
it.
You got to push something off to do something else. Period. And anyway, I guess that'll wrap it up. I think we're probably at I don't know here an hour and 15 minutes.
Very cool.
So that's not too bad.
Not at all.
And we got a few questions there that led to some longer,
yeah,
some longer discussion. So we'll do more of these for sure. So you know, on YouTube, if you want to go to the comments on YouTube and drop a like and subscribe there, if you don't mind, leave us more questions there. We'll do that, and we'll pull more from Patreon as well.
And since we know we're going to be doing more of these, in any of the comment sections of podcasts in the future, just drop something and say, you know, this is for the Ask Us Anything or something like
that. Yeah, you can do hashtag, you know, AMA or Q&A or whatever, something that stands out.
And then we'll know it's for, we'll pile them up for a future episode of this.
Yeah.
This is fun.
And we'll do some, we'll always pull some from Patreon as well, and they're guaranteed, of course. So, this was fun. This was cool. We didn't know, you know, I think we've both been a little funk the last couple of weeks, and we were going to record Tuesday on our normal day and sat here for a while like, just not feeling anything. There was nothing
right
we really had seen or watched, like a documentary to talk about or anything like that. So
we went down every avenue, and by the time we were done,
It was late. And like tonight, we were going to live stream. It's normally our live stream Sunday, but then by the time we got figuring out what the hell was going to do, and I posted this on Patreon, it was 11:30 or 12 or whatever it was. So too late to go live, because we'll do some of these podcasts live. And that's the other thing,
fun.
Really quick, this moving thing for me is going to help in so many ways, and I'm just so frustrated that it's not moving forward fast enough for me.
Right.
And it's just, like I said, the city, I actually spoke to the builder yesterday or the day before, and he says it should be any time, but they're just giving me the runaround every day, same thing, small things, whatever. So he said any time. So once I see that going, I will feel so much better about having this set up properly. We'll have video on the podcast at some point there, a proper studio. It'll just be a new environment for me to take care of, something new and clean. I just need this change of environment. It's like, I think a lot of people can relate to that, I would hope.
I'm sure they can.
So anyway, that will happen one way or the other. It's just taking a hell of a lot longer than it's supposed to. So then we'll have a proper setup. We'll add video to this. We'll have a proper little setup with a table. I can already kind of picture it in my head.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I'll have a proper streaming space for Twitch and for YouTube and all that kind of stuff too. So anyway, let us know what you think on the comments on YouTube. And again, if you're listening to this on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Podbean, or Spotify, you know, leave us a little like or rating, whatever it is on that particular platform.
Yes.
We'd appreciate
please
it.
Do.
And we'll wrap it up. And this is fun. We'll do more.
There we are.
So we'll just let this fade to black.
Fade to black.